Hello, this is the KPFK Local Station Board Finance Meeting. Today is August 26th. It is 3:04 p.m. And I'm going to call roll as soon as I do this. Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Alan Beek.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Bella DeSoto. Dave Johnson. Steve Kaiser. Kim Kaufman. That's me. I'm chair and secretary. Michael Novick.
Present.
Paulina Vasiliev.
Present.
John Wenger. And Barry Brooks.
Present.
Point of information.
Oh, your name is off here, Janine. I'm sorry. Janine.
It was taken off. It was taken off for the last meeting, but that was an error because I was on the May meeting.
Right, right. I'll fix that. When we get to the minutes, I'll fix that. I'm sorry. Let me just put this here to remind myself. Say something when we get to the minutes, Janine, and I'll add that. Okay.
Bella DeSoto is also on the call now.
Well, Bella can speak for herself. Bella?
Present.
Okay. Okey-doke.
Point of information, Kim?
Yes?
Technical point about Maestro. I did some studying on Maestro, and if people want to raise their hand silently while somebody else is giving a report, they can just hit one of on their touchpad, on their key, on their phone. They can hit one of the numbers 1 through 5, which will raise a hand in the Maestro software for the chair to see. Somebody's making... That's it. Somebody's making a lot of noise in the background, rattling stuff.
Okay.
I think that's Bella making the noise. Bella, could you please mute your phone?
No, there is no noise coming from me.
When I mute your line, the noise is on your line.
I don't know. I don't see how.
People should mute when they're not speaking anyway. Just mute with someone.
Okay, so did everybody get the agenda?
This is Alan, and I am running on mute, so it's not me.
Okay, but the question is, okay, can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you. Any amendments to the agenda? Okay. So I guess the agenda's, well, I have a question here. I put down number 6, review July P&Ls, and then I have number 7, review the budget, the new budget. So I'm willing to reverse that order depending on what the body wants.
This is Paulina.
I heard Paulina, and then I think I heard Michael Novick.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, you heard Michael Novick.
Right, okay.
Am I recognized?
Yeah, go ahead, Paulina.
I think it makes sense to look at the B&L first,
because otherwise the budget doesn't make sense, right, if we don't look at past numbers. I mean, Michael, I think, has a different opinion.
That's okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have some issues with the P&L, and I mean, that's why I put it first. So unless anybody else has an objection, I'll leave the agenda the way it is. No objections? All right, so the agenda's approved as unamended.
This is Alan. I have a question.
Okay, Alan.
I understand this P&L just came out a few minutes ago.
No, it came out last night, yesterday.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you received it. Okay. Next on the agenda is to approve the minutes from August 12th. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I move.
So moved.
I heard Michael
and Fred
make a motion. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to add Janine to this, to the attendance.
Dave's here.
Oh, hi, Dave. I saw your text, but...
No worries. It was my fault. Okay. Don't worry, Kim. My fault.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
He couldn't get in, and nothing I could do about it. I got, like, four documents open here. Okay. So, Amy, are we okay with the minutes?
As amended with Janine's presence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you need something, me to respond?
No, I'm just asking if anybody's responsive, it's, you know, anybody
minutes,
can...
Minutes were fine.
Okie doke. So next on the agenda is I set a continuation meeting for next Wednesday if we don't finish what we need to do today. Otherwise, our next regular meeting is September 9th. So we can decide at the end of the meeting if we want to meet next week. Now,
sounds good.
Barry have a report for us? We didn't get anything in writing. Hello?
Yeah, this is a reason why I didn't have a written report is because this is just a continuation from last meeting. And
no, it's
that's
not.
Why I didn't have, yes, it is. We met last Wednesday, I think.
Okay.
Well, so that's why I didn't have a written report. But I will give you a narrative of the financial report for KPFK. Today, we have $165,179 in the bank. We paid our payroll today, and we are going to be paying our health benefits in the next couple of days. Our accounts payable balance is $11,000. Most of that is due to the tech impact invoices that we deferred because of the problem with cash flow. But those invoices were paid in August of this month, or so you'll see a significant difference in that AP balance at the end of August. I had a report for the summer fund drive for July and August I sent to Fred and Kim. in which it stated that the total gross is $222,409.78, and we have an average collection for those for that day or for that period of a little bit under $9,000. And we have a fulfillment rate, according to Allegiance, of 76% for this particular fund drive.
Of how much?
76% fulfillment rate.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We are currently now in a soft drive going forward, and that will continue into September. We are planning on having our hard drive in October 3rd of 2020 that will probably go for 28 to 31 days. See what else I need to say, anything else? And as you know, we did resubmit a revised budget. I guess that's going to be a different topic of discussion, but we did submit that. And I also submitted a forecast of what the number of fund drive days we're going to have for fiscal year 21, along with the estimate of how much money we will be raising for fiscal year 21. And that's it for me, for my report.
Okay. Okay, I'll take some questions now. I'm pretty sure we're all going to have questions that basically will fall into the budget. So if we can hold off questions like with the fund drive chart until we get actually the budget, that would be good. But any questions right now?
This is Paulina.
Go ahead.
Barry, I was on the National Finance call yesterday, and we were meeting with Anita Sims from NETA, and I know that she's trying to work closely with the GMs and the business managers to reconcile their numbers with the local accounting. Have you been working with Anita at all?
Not directly. I usually work with Tamara. Tamara and I usually correspond pretty much daily almost. So, yeah, I talk to Anita very seldom, but, yeah, I've just been talking to Tamara.
Okay, but the as far as reconciling accounts and using the same chart of accounts and all of that, we're good? How's that going?
We're good, yeah. I reconciled the operating administration account about 2 weeks ago for July prior to the printing of the July financials, and that went pretty straightforward. I'm also in contact with George Walter for the new audit for fiscal year 2019. So I've been doing work for him and getting those accounts reconciled and all that. So, yeah, so that's what I've been doing too. So, trying to get the, the PayPal account, savings account, and also the video project account and the solar accounts. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Great. Thank you.
Let's try to the stack.
Okay.
Right to the stack.
And then I'd like to be on the stack. And Ken, please unmute Bella. I understand it's quieter that she's muted, but she might want to be on the stack, and she's got to mute herself.
Kim, she muted herself, as far as I know.
Okay. Okay. It just shows muted here.
Same here.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, yeah. Okay, looking at the budget on line 45. Oh, excuse me.
Ken, we're going to wait until the budget? Can we wait until we talk about the budget? We're just asking
we're not
a general question.
Now? I thought we were doing the budget now. We're not?
No, no.
Okay.
We're just responding to Barry's little report here.
That's fine. Yeah. I just wanted to know
What was the code to put a hands up on the Majestic?
Hit any one of the number keys between 1 and 5. That will raise a hand silently.
Okay, what? Just hit a number 1 to 5. Okay, thank you.
No pound sign or star key. Just the number.
Okay.
I'll try and keep my eye on it, but, you know, I got a bunch of other stuff going on here. So, Fred's next.
Yes. Barry, again, how much, what is in the bank account currently?
$165,179.
Okay.
And today we pay our payroll.
Yeah. But is that minus the payroll that you paid today, or is that including the payroll?
No, that's before the payroll transfer.
Okay, so
So
it's down to about 100,000 then.
That's correct. Uh huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be enough money to pay to operate in September? Because you've indicated there's no fund drive in September. So how much money will be coming in September than fund drive money?
Yeah, I just mentioned that we are in soft drive, so we do have money coming in right now. It's just we're not in hard drive right now. So there will be money coming in for that. I'm projecting probably in the neighborhood of around $50,000 that will come in between now and the 15th of September.
And by the end of September?
There will be additional funds that will be coming in at the end of September, yes.
And that will be sufficient to make payroll and other expenses?
I believe so, yes. The PPP funding greatly helped us to get back on our feet, so I think we'll do okay.
But the PPP funding ran out last Friday. The last of the PPP money was used up on Friday.
Correct.
So,
but it gave us some leeway to actually catch up on some outstanding bills that we were outstanding on. So, yeah, it helped us a lot.
Okay. Again, there's a lot of noise on the line. I was going to ask an error question, but I've forgotten it, so I'll have to pass for now. I'm finished, Kim.
Okay. You know, I didn't put on the agenda today your report from last week, from the last meeting, Barry, but only because I thought we had enough to do. But relative to what Paulina said, I mean, you gave us a report for July, and we hadn't gotten the July P&L yet. But I looked at the numbers that you gave us for July, and number one, the first question is, why can't we get a P&L from you? Because you have those numbers, and it takes, you know, Nita, an extra couple of weeks, number one. And number two, what you reported is significantly different than what Nita reported. And I'm just, you know...
difference is in my report and her report is that I am trying to find what the actual number is for website income for the month. So Terry, he's going through the process of trying to use the new system with Allegiance, and it's posing a problem with getting the information readily within the time period of the cutoff in which NEDA is producing the financial statement. So there might be one journal entry to reclass website income out of listener support that we have to do every month. That's the only difference that I have done for July's financials. So I was going to give you guys the financials, but I said, well, since NEDA has given it to you guys, I thought we'd just go off of their numbers. I could give you one which I have. That's why I made that decision.
Well, yeah, this just isn't adding up for me. And I don't have the report in front of me to say, well, you know, it's this much different. And I'm, you know, I'm against this whole website income pulling it out. I've said this many times. I can't stop you from doing it. But these numbers aren't adding up. And it's also difficult to, as I've said, compare month to month, year to year. But whatever. I can't make you do any different. So somebody else will figure this out eventually. Anyone else for this stock before we get to the P&L?
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Barry, is the general manager going to be on the call today?
I haven't talked to Aniel today. I think he was going to be on standby or whatever, but I don't think he's going to be on the call, no.
This is Alan B. I'm on the stack.
Are you or him at the station today?
No, I'm at home.
Thank you.
I come in once a week on Thursday to do work at the station.
Okay, thank you.
Alan, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask that Barry's reports be by email rather than orally over the telephone. Then I could digest them much better.
We've asked for this multiple times, Alan, and we get what we get at this point.
The last meeting, I gave you a written report, so.
Right. You gave it to us at the meeting. At the meeting, Barry, so we didn't have time to review it. Whatever.
Okay, well, you still got a report, lady. Still got a report.
The point I thought was to get reports that we could discuss at the finance meeting. If the point is just to say, I gave you a report, even though it was during the meeting, then that's what it is.
The narrative report is right there. All you have to do is read along to it. That's all you have to do. It's not a big deal.
It is a big deal for me.
The report, unless it comes by email.
Yes, Alan. I mean, Alan wants them. You know, it takes me longer, Barry, to review stuff because I actually review it. Apparently, nobody else on this call reviews this stuff, but I do, and I guess I'm just slow. That's the way it is. So let's move on. Does everybody have their P&L pulled up?
Yes.
I have it up, Kim.
Okay, let's go around the room and see who's got something to say.
Hold on, Kim. Is this, you're talking about the July 31 P&L, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm sure that those who are concerned about KPFK's finances have reviewed this. So let's hear. Grace?
Yes. Well, our in 2019, our total expenses were $3.8 million, and the PNB requested 30% at least reduction. NFC, on the NFC call, it was stated that the current deficit is ranging at about 34%. So we really need significant decreases in expenses.
Okay, but have you reviewed?
Okay, yeah. You can put me at the end of the stack. I was walking around. I don't have it in front of me at this exact second. I have to walk back to my laptop.
All right, Ken?
I'm sorry, I keep my phone muted.
Yes.
Alan? Fred?
Okay, I noticed on the July P&L that our current as of July, our current income, our net income, net revenue is down by 22%. The listener support income is down by 14%. A big factor in that was that in fiscal year, the last fiscal year, FY19, we had almost $500,000 of major donor income in terms of bequests and major donor and 100,000 donation and major donor income. So that all added up to $500,000. And this year, that's down to, we've gotten, according to the P&L, $62,000 in major donor income. I think there was a bequest back in November of $41,000. And I'm, Barry, could you tell us what the $16,000 was in April? You may have informed us of that, but I don't remember.
I'm not too sure about that, but I think that I forget that the gentleman's name that made that deposit.
Was that
I'll send that out in the email tomorrow to verify it. But
was that a bequest? Was that bequest?
Yeah, I think it was a major donor contribution. So I think the gentleman's name was Joseph Farouk Farsusi or something like that. I forget. I'll confirm it tomorrow. But I'll let you know.
Okay, I just wanted to know if it's bequest or our major donor donation.
No, the major donor income. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So currently, KPFK is the black sheep of the Pacifica family in terms of it's got the worst income or the worst financial problems of the five stations.
Why do you say that, Fred?
Because it's true.
That's a good reason. Can you elaborate?
Well, I will. We're in deficit by $485,000 right now, with no hope of, you know, paying our bills.
Steve,
and that's worse than WBAI. We have the biggest deficit in the network.
And the board of directors are concentrating on us right now because of that, because the financial situation is so desperate. I can't say any more about that because I know very little about what's going on at director's level. So
we need more cost-cutting measures?
Yes.
Well, that's one thing. That's one thing. I mean, it's both. But look, here's we got $570,000 last year in bequests and or major in donor income. According to the P&L, the variance for this year and last year is $682,000. So that's about $100,000 difference, you know, between all the bequests from last year and now. So that the problem is that all this money came in last year, over $500,000. And it was just spent. I mean, with no, you know, I mean, and it was overspent because we still had a deficit last year. This is the problem.
Well, that we continue to go around
to do our funding operations.
Yes, I am.
Kim, the deficit last year, even with the bequest was $465,000. I mean, the total bequests were $465,000, but the deficit.
No, they weren't, Fred. They were $570,000.
You're talking about I thought that 465 included the hundred.
No.
You said there were two $100,000 major donor donations.
Plus the 350. Plus the 350.
Okay,
550.
Kim. Okay, I see you added in the 100,000 that was put in the minor donor line.
Exactly.
But yeah.
the
point I was making is that even with that $570,000 of major donor income, we were still $130,000 in deficit.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Go. I'm continuing.
I'm finished. Take somebody else.
Bella. Is Bella? She's still muted.
I'll unmute her manually.
Dave Johnson.
I'm going to pass right now, Kim. Thank you.
Steve Kaiser.
This is Bella.
Let Bella speak, and I'll pass too.
Okay, Bella. We're looking at the P&L. Any comments?
I was muted from the very beginning by Fred Blair, and I want you all to know that with a bogus excuse that there was noise on my phone.
Okay. Any comments on the P&L?
And who is making all that noise? Waterfall. And who was making all the noise when Polina was on? It was not me. I was muted.
Water, please stop justice and ask the questions.
I wanted to ask Barry, during the time of Q&A, where is the accounts payable? You said that we have an accounts payable balance of $11,000. We never see a comprehensive report. And every month I ask for the same thing. And as long as we don't know how much we have to pay out every month, it is no wonder that money is spent like water, and we still don't know where the money goes. Thank you.
No comments on the P&L, Bella?
I couldn't care less. I've already expressed many times what the concerns are, and nobody seems to take interest in it. So you can go on.
Michael Novick.
Yeah, maybe Barry can help us with this. We're showing, as people have said, a deficit of $484,000, almost $485,000 over the course of the year so far. That's not in comparison to previous years, that's in terms of actual expenses. So I'm wondering, since we, you know, we do the, where, what we have not paid for, that, yeah, the revenue is a cash and the expenses are accrued. So which accrued expenses have we not covered? I guess I want to know what $484,000 of accrued expenses we haven't paid. That's the equivalent of an aging, yes, accounts payable from the P&L. But in other words,
central services.
I know that we got – let me finish my question. I know in May, we got a transfusion of income where part of that payroll was picked up by the national office from the budget of the affiliates network unit of the foundation. And I'm wondering if that's been paid back or not, and what else we owe to the national office, or who else we owe money to the tune of $484,000.
Okay, Michael, currently the amount of money we borrowed for the April 15th payroll through the Pacifica Foundation affiliate, that has been paid in full as of July. What I said as far as the outstanding balance of AP balance of $11,000 is part due to Tech Impact, which handles our IT monitoring, and also Allegiant. So, like I mentioned to you in my report at the beginning, those particular invoices have been paid as of in August. Okay. So when you see the report that I'm going to send you, tomorrow, those, the ones for Tech Impact and Allegiance, they will be paid.
Okay, but what I'm asking is, what haven't we paid? In other words, if we were $484,000 short, okay. Something well, wasn't paid. What wasn't paid?
Primarily, that's due to our essential services is one. We're like $147,000 behind in our essential services for the month or for the year, fiscal year 2020. And then we have about approximately 4 months of in arrears for fiscal year 2019. So that's what makes up that large amount of money there for the essential services. As far as local vendors, I just mentioned to you what was outstanding.
Why can't we get an accounts payable aging? Why?
Bella,
what is the
quiet.
Reason? For
Bella,
that?
Be quiet.
You let other people speak all the time.
You have
your turn.
You can get on the stack when Michael Novick is finished.
Good. Then put me on the stack. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm still looking for some clarity. The income is actual. The revenue is actual. Basically, we've taken in actually about $2.5 million year to date. But we haven't really spent $3 million. What I'm trying to find out is where is the unspent $484,000.
Like I mentioned to you before, the central services that we have in arrears with the national office is primarily.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I'm not, okay, you said it was about, yeah, you said that was about $180,000, but that still leaves $300,000 that we haven't paid, and I'm trying to figure out what that is.
As far as I know, we don't owe anybody, you know, $300,000 as far as an outside vendor. We don't owe anybody that much money.
I take you at your word, but I'm saying I don't know how to trust the figures if we're showing a $500,000 deficit through this point in the year between our expenses and our income, and we don't show what expenses are not paid.
Tomorrow I will give you the AP schedule and you can look at it for yourself. Okay, but it's not $300,000 that we owe anybody outside.
Okay,
all right. I don't think
we're going to make any headway here, Michael. But I see your point. Let me ask you another question, Barry. Relative to this, how much money total PPP or equivalent did we get? In other words, you know. What total amount was covered by PPP? I mean, it didn't come into our bank account, but exactly how many payrolls,
I mean, it was approximately $325,000 that we got for PPP funding, which amounted to about 2.5 months of payroll and health benefits.
Okay. Well, that's part of the mystery, Michael, I think.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Am I on the stack?
Eventually, yes.
You said after Michael. You said after Michael, right?
I said, let Michael finish. I'm going around the room, Bella. I will put you on the end. Ken raised his hand online. He's before you.
Okay.
Paulina is next if she has any questions.
Yes, a brief one. So, actually, general question. How are we doing with Allegiance now? Because I know we had issues. And are we more adjusted at this point with Allegiance? Have the issues been resolved? I know it's not a specific question about the P&L. I'm looking at the P&L right now. If I come up with something more specific, I will ask that later. But I just want to know about how we're doing with Allegiance. And also, what's the rationale for categorizing Website Inc. as separate?
Okay. As far as Allegiance goes, we are still in an ongoing training mode as far as getting all the information that we can get and muster out of the Allegiance software. We were able to get the fulfillment rate for the last fund drive out of the Allegiance. So that's a work in progress that Terry Guy is going through. But we hope to get it back to where FileMaker Pro, when I used to give you those reports for the fund drive, and that actually tell you the average daily balance and all that, all the pertinent information that came off of that report. So Terry Guy is in the process of doing that.
Okay. Now,
the website income.
Website income is, we have to extrapolate that particular number out of the listener support revenue. That's why at the end of the month, it's very pertinent that I get the information from Terry that tells us what people have contributed via the website. So that's like
the question
PayPal.
Was, sorry to interrupt. Barry, but what's the rationale behind putting website income as separate from other listener support?
Because that's a separate bucket that we have to identify for website income. I believe in a previous meeting, I think somebody said that they wanted to know what the balance is for website income. That's why it was broken out.
I see. So just an internal categorization thing, but from a programmer's point of view, it's kind of strange because, look, let's say we're pitching, right? We're in a fund drive, whether soft or hard, doesn't matter. Some people will be pledging by calling, and they might get the call center right now because obviously we don't have volunteers in the phone room. Others will be pledging online. They're both, both the listeners are pledging for a show. It should be the same income. It's just a question of how the pledge was made. Is that correct?
You're talking about two different mediums, so that's why we break it out. You want to find out how many people are contributing via the computer, and then how many people are contributing via the phone. So that's why we would like to break that out to see what that is, because I think the vast majority of millennials are making their contributions or donations through the computer or through their phone, too.
Right, website. In general, yeah, as opposed to
Alan Big to the stack.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have a bunch of questions, but I'm going to take a quick second round here because, like I said, I have a bunch of questions. So I have Ken first.
Okay, Barry, where is the Allegiance expense hidden on this P&L? What's the cost for Allegiance, and what line is it on?
In the P&L you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, well, right now I've been putting it at the let me see if I can identify that. Hold on a minute.
You don't move it around, do you? It's in
It's in the 668003 account. That's where it's in.
What line on the spreadsheet?
What is the name? What name is
hold
it?
Hold on a minute. Just hold on. Let's see. Okay, here we go.
Looks like 89, Barry.
No.
No, it's not in there. 680. It's not even on here.
Together in line 89.
I have to say congratulations. It's well written.
Yeah. Right.
680.
Okay, but the P&L don't have the GL codes broken out.
Let me just push forward on that. Pardon me?
There it is.
How much does it cost? Where's the
loop? Line 111. That's where it's in. Maintenance and technical. That's where I put it.
Where?
in line 111.
No. What are you looking at,
also,
Barry?
I'm looking at my the actual cost, the chart of accounts.
Line 111 is blank.
July P&L. Yeah, line 111 is blank. It's at the end of the whole thing. Just tell us the name. The name, Barry. Let's get the name.
I just told you the name. Maintenance and technical.
Maintenance technical.
In category 03.
Maintenance technical. Okay. Right.
Maintenance technical, huh?
Which is where it should not be.
Instead of...
It's line 85.
No, that's
line 85. Okay, thank you, Fred.
That is for the tower. That is for the maintenance of the tower.
Well, so wait, who's got? In other words, it's not broken out as a separate line. It's included in maintenance. So what else is included in maintenance? How much is, what are we paying for Allegiance per month?
Should be a development.
It's approximately $900 a month.
How much?
$900 per month.
So Allegiance is called Tech Impact?
No, they're two different companies.
Okay.
Allegiance is a separate company from Tech Impact.
And it's called Allegiance in the general ledger?
What?
It's called...
The name of the company is called Allegiance. Barry, I want to know how much Allegiance costs us per month. So it's just paying
$900
for a third party to extra software. Whatever you're paying to give us the facility and functions that we categorize as Allegiance. How much is that, and where is it on this P&L?
I told you, it's $900 per month, approximately.
$900 a month, approximately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where do you report that?
In maintenance and technical.
Okay, thank you. $900 a month.
Is that programming? Is that programming expenses or administrative expenses?
Programming expenses, line 85 on the P&L.
Alan Bake to the stack.
And Grace to the stack.
Ken, are you finished?
Yes, I'm finished.
Finished, thank you.
Okay, Alan.
Is Grace Aaron still here with the meeting? I have to ask her a question. Because it,
okay.
To me,
to the stack.
The problem is not enough income. The problem is too much expenses, and the too much expenses calls for payroll reductions, and we have instructions not to bargain with the union, and I'd like to find out if anything's happening on that. Is Annual now free to bargain with the union, or are we still waiting to hear from National?
Alan, can we wait until we get to the budget for this? We're talking about the P&L statement, okay?
Just so I get the answer from Grace.
Okay, Bella's next on the...
Yes, we're moving on that. Annual must provide a plan to... the National Board and to the Interim Executive Director for beginning negotiations, because the National Board wants to ensure that the expense cuts are significant enough. A 30% minimum in reductions has been mandated by the National Board. So that's what we need, an assurance that sufficient expense cuts are going to be initiated by Annual before he begins negotiating with the union, because it wouldn't be good if the expense cuts are too minimal. I hope you understand that.
Okay, Bella's next.
Well, Alan and Grace, Aniello has no contract. He is not in a position to bargain. And we elected, the National Board elected a subcommittee or a task force to handle that, led by Lawrence Reyes. That's what we are not being given a report back, nor at the LSB. I want to go on to the original questions or areas that I was not able to ask earlier. Paulina asked if Barry had been working with Anita up north, and he never responded. He said he has been corresponding with Nita, not Anita, up north. Therefore, there's a major disconnect, and the numbers are not going to look good. And they're not looking good because there's a disparity between what we get from Nita and what we get locally. So there's that discrepancy that's causing a lot of confusion and anguish. I keep coming back to an accounts payable aging report. There are three words to that, accounts payable aging report. Very significant. If we were to get that monthly before our meeting, then we would be able to budget how much expenditures are expected. Therefore, we would be able to grasp a handle on the revenue and then isolate the personnel costs from that. And the reason why I decided to do an analysis going back to 2007 of only personnel costs against revenue is to show that personnel costs are eating away at everything else. So people keep asking on this committee, so where is the money going to? Why so many expenses? But we never see the proper reporting. And we need a monthly accounts payable aging report where it shows the terms of the vendor, the amount that needs to be paid, okay. In other words, frequency, and what's pending, and that shows you right away what is pending and what has been paid to date. So if we don't get that report, we continue to go around our tail. The other thing is that the reason why there's a categorizing separately of the web income makes sense because we want to know what's being coming in from the web. However, I agree with Paulina. That money needs to be then broken down further because anyone can make a pledge for any given program and they can elect what medium to use regardless. And it is our duty, our job, to keep track of what percentage of that or what amount of money came in for a particular program during what time. And that will separate us. So that web income needs to be further broken down by sub-accounts. Thank you.
Okay, Grace, and then me.
Sorry, I was muted. Okay, so obviously we're just about we're not even breaking even, and that's after an influx of a considerable amount of money from the PPP. So we're looking at significant drops in listener support. I have a question. I have a question, then I have some other comments. I believe Barry just said a little while ago that the average per day for the summer fund drive was $9,000. Is that correct? Did
no.
I understand that?
No. A little bit under $9,000. Great.
Per day. Okay. Do you know how long the summer fund drive was?
I believe it was 14 days, I believe.
14 days. So is that without factoring in the fulfillment, with the fulfillment or without the fulfillment? In other words, is that 222,000 divided by...
That's without the fulfillment.
Pardon me?
The average day. That's without the fulfillment. That amount,
without the fulfillment. So, okay. So an overall fulfillment eventually of, let's say, 84% would mean that this is something like really $8,000 per day fund drive income?
Well, that's correct for the 14
okay.
days.
Okay, well, that's that is completely unsustainable. We were looking at, in past years, $23,000 per day for an average fund drive day. Now we're down to $8,000 per day. That's less per day than WBAI is getting.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think the great caveat to that is drive time. People are not driving to work, and that's where a great deal of our revenue and contributions were coming in through the drive time in the morning. So that's why we took a hit in that.
Well, that makes complete sense because Nielsen is saying that there's been a decrease because of COVID of 15% to 20% in radio listenership across the boards, across the country. So we have to factor in not only a decrease in listenership, but a decrease in listener support because fewer people are listening to the radio during this crisis. So this bodes very badly for our listener support in the coming months. Now, looking over the P&L, already listener support for the is down 14%, and we can expect more of a decrease. Is somebody talking to me, or? Okay.
Mute people.
All right. Now
Michael Novick, Bella DeSoto, please mute.
We can X out.
Hola, it is not me. It is Michael Novick, okay?
Okay, very good. So we can X out, at least for the next 6 months, community events income, but also we can reduce community event expenses, actually. So we can those two sort of X out but going down, the personnel costs were up 2%. And then administrative, I'm going down the profit and loss statement. We owe, I believe, $185,000 in central services, back central service payments. Is that correct? Barry?
Yeah, yes, Grace, that's correct.
Okay. So I see that health benefits are rather high. We have total salaries total are for fiscal year 2019 were $1,280,000 or so, and the health benefits were $259,000. So it would be a good idea to negotiate, to suggest that when negotiating with the union, that there are some possibility of negotiating for less expensive health care benefits or for a sharing of the expense between the station and the employees. That could be done. But that's a pretty high number. And they've increased 20%. So that's a real problem. Then I saw something else here.
Yeah, Grace, I just want to interject that health benefit increase is primarily due to Kaiser. They went up in their premiums drastically. So
well,
that's
has anyone thought about how these expenses could be reduced? Because this is a pretty high expense.
Yeah, we're trying to actually, Aniel's trying to work with the vendor to try to get a reduced cost for us because we are a nonprofit.
All right. Well, I'm sure this committee would like to know any developments in that regard. Are we going to I see that travel expense has declined considerably. That makes sense. And looking down the profit and loss. I don't see any other. I mean, I can't. If we want to go over these individual items, scrutinize them, I imagine we could find some. We need to find some expense cuts in these non-payroll items. I mean, the payroll is another story that has to be done very carefully. But if there's any way to find savings in the non-payroll expenses, Barry, have you given us, suggested any particular savings in the non-payroll?
Yeah, well, what we've done is we've cut back on our hourly employees' work time, and then also cutting back on our independent contractors that are doing on-air hosting and programming. So we've cut back that significantly to try to cut back our personnel costs, or payroll costs, I'm sorry, payroll.
Okay, so let me go up. That is, how much does that, consultants, temps, and contractuals?
Yeah,
that's only
like,
listed here as 26,000. 537.
Salaries. What line are you on?
62.
Yeah, exactly. Consulting. That's the number.
Well, that could be reduced, but we're running such a huge deficit on a month. I mean, the significance is this. The justification for shutting down WBAI was that if a station can't meet its payroll, which is what is going to happen with KPFK, if there isn't a significant reduction in expenses, and I do mean significant, at least 30%, then and we won't be able to make our payroll at some point. And that failure was used as a justification for shutting down WBAI entirely and making it a repeater station for KPFK and KPFA principally. So I don't know. We're looking at a future of either being forced to sell our building to pay expenses or and tide us over for a short time or being shut down entirely. So it's absolutely urgent that we find if there's any way to suggest reductions in the non-payroll. The payroll is another story. That has to be done confidentially. But in the other items, if there's any way to reduce the other expenses that are non-payroll, let's figure them out. That's all I have
okay.
to say.
We'll get there when we get to the budget, Grace.
I even mentioned to Annual to possibly do part-time hourly for the programmers and another way of trying to shed our costs. So that's something that he's trying to put under his idea of cutting back, you know, payroll costs.
Okay,
here I go. If you look at the P&L a little differently, you'll see that, well, I can't figure this out because the listener support is 14% down. However, this newfound website income is 53% positive. So I'm not sure what the math on that is, but the listener support isn't actually the problem. The problem is all of the bequest money we got last year, which is throwing things off. The listener support, you cannot divorce it from the fund drive days, which is what's going on here, okay? Because the fund drive days this year was increased enormously, but the actual listener support, when you combine that and this website income, which is now at 16%, it tells a different story. I want to know the car donations for July is remarkably high. I mean, like exponentially higher than ever. Like, how does that, what happened?
I guess a lot of people started selling their cars. It's $18,000.
Yeah, that's just sort of not really making sense to me, since people aren't really driving and they're not going to buy cars right now. So that's a little anomaly. I also want to point out, I don't understand this $9,000 per day for the 2-week fund drive. I mean, first of all, I thought it was 15 days. Whether it's 14 or 15, 229. If you're saying the pledged amount at 229 divided by 15 days.
226. And you're going to report out for the total amount.
That's fine. Barry, let's get basic here. 225 divided by 14 or 15 days is about $15,000 a day. End of story. I mean, I don't know where this $9,000 per day is coming from, because simple basic arithmetic is you take 225 divided by 14 or 15 days, you're coming out with $15,000 per day. End of story. I mean, I don't know what these other numbers are, where they're coming from, but it doesn't make sense.
Look at that Allegiant schedule I sent you. You can calculate it from there, okay?
Kim, can I join in?
Yeah.
Kim, can I join in here?
I'm the one who...
I'm the one today who said I calculated it at 9,000 a day, and I did that from the fund drive chart, or the fund drive spreadsheet that Barry sent out today a couple hours ago. And I think what's happened here is that he's added in the soft drive days into the hard drive days. So you're right. It was 15,000 a day for the 15 days of the hard drive. But when you add in these soft drive days, obviously there's more days, but they're raising very little money.
Okay. I know. Well, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out later. We didn't have enough time for this meeting. So, you know, we can look at it carefully. But basically when we're having a fund drive days, that's $15,000 today. Remember that number, because when we get to the budget very soon, we'll be using that number. Okay, so the car donations are a little wacky. The community events, I just want to point out, has been at a net loss for this year. The health benefits actually were lower. Were actually lower in July than it were for June, May, April, for the rest of the year, basically. So I don't know why the health bennies were lower in July than the rest of the year. And SUI is left out for payroll taxes. It's not there. Okay, well, I just want to comment. The phones are just getting higher and higher and higher. Don't know why. And in line 61, there's no MEMSIS payment for July. Wonder what happened there. And, yeah, you're still using consultants. Yeah, you're cutting back, but you're still using them. And just of note, the bank charges are higher. Not sure how that works out. That will be important when we get to the budget. And the computer expenses are still being put in the wrong place, like in maintenance technical, because I'm pretty sure we spent more than $14,000 for the year on our computer maintenance. And that will be important when we get to the budget. This rent and lease is very uneven, And it's higher than last year, and this number will be important when we get to the budget. It's $30,000 a year to date here, $24,000 last year, and you have it in the budget is like $20,000. So that just, we can't do that unless there's an explanation. And again, the utilities, take note of what that is because that'll be important when we get to the budget. And okay, what? Why is the news service higher in June? Were you back paying something, or there was something extra going on in June?
What line are you on, Kim?
New service, 81. 81. Just 81. A note. I would maintain that the MFCB dues goes in administrative, not in programming. But, you know, at least it's there. Okay, so maintenance technical in June is when you paid back the tech impact, I'm guessing.
Right. Because you have to remember that we kicked the can down the line for a number of those vendors where we couldn't make the
payment. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. You're fuzzy. What?
I said we deferred a lot of the vendors because we were cash strapped.
Right.
We didn't have enough money. So we kicked that down the road a little
just
bit.
Just because I am who I am, the Allegiant should be going in line
still somewhere under development, but there's no line for it.
I can't hear you, Michael. You're muffled.
On the development, but there's no line for it.
Yeah, there's no line for it in this P&L, but there's a line for it in the budget. So this needs to be reconciled somehow between NIDA and the budget. But at any rate, it definitely goes in development.
It should not go in development, Kim.
Okay. I think
it should be administrative. It should be administrative.
I have the floor, Bella. I have the floor. Thank you.
But you did allow Michael to interrupt.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Okay. It's administrative, not developing.
I can't understand you.
Allegiant.
I cannot understand you, Bella.
I can't hear you
Stop.
At all.
Allegiance is administrative.
I cannot understand you, Bella. Stop. You don't have the floor.
Can I be placed on the stack, please?
I see that in development under telemarketing, you've now put the telerep or whatever the new service is. But previously, it had been going in the phone expenses, which are still remarkably high. So I'm just wondering, you know, I haven't seen the general ledger for 2 months, so I don't know if the telerep now is in telemarketing where it should go, while the phone is still so high. So we'll deal with that when we get to the budget. And I have a feeling something's going on with the PRA premiums because we should be spending more from there than we are. I suspect that's elsewhere in the general ledger, but it doesn't help us when we make the budget. Okay, I am done, and we can move on to the budget.
This is Paulina, actually. I have a question, specific question.
Who's this?
Paulina. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Barry, I am looking at line. Let me tell you one sec. Just generally, it looks like our the biggest increase in operating costs, expenses, was due to telemarketing, right? For year to date 2019 and year to date now is it's an increase of 607%. Is this the call center expense?
Yes,
that is correct. That is Telerep, and also we have a new company called A Better Answer that's going into telemarketing.
Mm-hmm. And we're using them all the time, right? Because, I know people have asked this before, but just to clarify, this is not just during fund drives. They also pick up our calls when, let's say, nobody's there to answer, when somebody's calling to pledge during off hours or when, you know, folks are not pitching on the air, right? And they charge per call as well, the same as the previous call?
That's correct. That's correct.
And they are in central time now, right? Because we switched call centers. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Paulina.
Okay, great. All right. So they are in which state are they in now?
I believe Better Answers in Oregon, I believe.
Okay. So they're on central standard time, right?
Right.
Not on Eastern time, because that was... Uh-huh. Or are they on Eastern time, too?
Hello, this is Terry. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, actually, A Better Answer is in Texas.
Oh, okay.
So they are in Central time.
So that's Central time, correct.
Yeah.
Okay, and how has that been so far? Because I haven't had much of an opportunity to participate in the fund drive. We had problems with the previous call center with our, at least our listener supporters not getting their calls answered and wanting to donate, not being able to because the folks there didn't speak Spanish. I believe the Texas Center is supposed to be fully bilingual. Have you had any I haven't had any feedback yet as of this fund drive. I'm wondering if you have.
This is Danielle. I did include that in my fund drive report. We did receive far fewer complaints, although we did have a few instances where there were high call volumes and people had difficulty getting through, but definitely a lot less problems than we've had with Telerep over the last couple of fund drives.
Hi, Anya. Welcome. Good to hear you. Did I hear Terry Guy as well just a second ago?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you done, Paulina?
Yes, for now.
Okay. Bella wanted to be on the stack. I hope it's about the P&L because we're going to move on to the budget right after this. So if you can all pull up your budgets. Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. So welcome, Aniel, and welcome, Terry Guy. This is a welcome situation here. Allegiance is administrative. It's an administrative expense. It is the way to administer. It's a program that is utilized to administer all the income streams for the station going forward. So it's not in programming. It's in administrative. It needs to be a separate line item in the P&L, specifically for both Allegiance and for Tech Impact. And those two should remain in there, and that's it. There should be nothing else in there unless the station is utilizing another similar program. MEMSIS should be there as well. No more. And also Great Plains to Microsoft, that should be there as well. So a line item exclusively for this computer programming monitoring should be set up on the P&L exclusively for those administrative expenditures. And again, we need an accounts payable aging report as soon as possible, monthly, so we can see what needs to be paid and what has not been paid, so we can budget properly. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the budget. Who wants to speak on the budget?
Michael Levin.
Go ahead, Michael.
So I remind people that the local station board did pass a motion regarding the budget at our last meeting. Maybe not everybody on the committee is aware of that. Basically said that the local station board does not approve the most recent.
I can hear you, Michael.
He said that the local station board does not approve the most recent budget submitted and asked for a balanced budget of approximately $2,400,000 in total expenses based on the following anticipated, based on a demonstrable anticipated revenue streams, incorporating a fund drive chart indicating an 85% fulfillment rate on $15,000 a day in pledges and additional income from historically justified sources, including monthly sustainers, car donations, grants in hand, studio rentals, events, book sales, etc. A suggested fund drive chart would cover 6 21-day on-air fund drives in October, December, February, April, June, and August for total under the formula above of a little over $1.6 million. If $800,000 in specified and provable additional income can be identified in a fashion to meet the station's monthly cash flow for payroll and other expenses. If provable anticipated income in that amount cannot be demonstrated, additional fund drive days and or additional reductions in anticipated expenses will be required for a balanced budget proposal. During the course of the fiscal year, if anticipated revenues in any two-month period do not reach the anticipated level, management must make additional cuts in expenses to match the revenue shortfall. So we were hoping to see a budget that responded to that, but this one doesn't. We've seen three budgets in the last several months, and I did send around to people as a document file data excerpted from the three budgets. So the first one we looked at had a $500,000 shortfall. It was not balanced whatsoever. So then we got a second one from that Barry talked about with us that led to the motion that you just heard. There was a slightly different version of the motion in the Finance Committee. It was amended at the LSB. But under that budget that we looked at with Barry not that long ago, we were looking at approximately $1,800,000 in listener support and $2,600,000 in total revenue for the station. This budget is back to what we had in the one that was imbalanced. It makes a few minor cuts in anticipated listener support towards the end of the fiscal year. For some reason, in the last few months of the upcoming fiscal year, has less anticipated income than the original budget, but most of the months are the same. And it claims there'll essentially be an increase in listener support in the coming year compared to what's happening this year. And then it says a total revenue for the fiscal year, this one does, is $3,247,000. And it claims that expenses are going to cut to $3,224,000. But I don't think either aspect of it is numbers that make sense. I don't see how we're going to come up with a 3.25 in revenue. And so if we're not going to come up with 3.25 in revenue, there's no way we're going to spend as much
on the expense side. We can't budget to spend that much. So I don't understand why there was no response to the motion from the Finance Committee and the LSB in preparing this budget. I think that the figures we looked at with Barry were not very accurate month to month, but at least the total was somewhere in the ballpark on the revenue side. And this one is not.
Alan Beek on the stack.
Okay, so go after me.
There was apparently some question was raised about what a budget chart is. So I just want to clarify for people. The budget template used to have a tab for the fund drive projections. And the fund drive projections are based on kind of what went into the thing. You take a look at how many days you're gonna raise funds.
Michael, he sent one last night. Didn't you see that? I sent it out to everyone.
Okay, does it follow what I'm about to say?
It's wacky. It's wacky. We're going to have to go over it.
So let me just clarify for everybody what it is, but some people might be listening on a stream. Okay. Let's say you think you can raise $500,000 in a fund drive in October based on how many days you're being in the fund drive and what you anticipate per day. You don't actually realize that money in October. You say, okay, if you look back at Memphis or whatever the statistics you're getting from, Allegiance, essentially you say, okay, maybe in the month of October, about 60% of the pledges will be realized. And in the month of November, another 20%, and then it's going to trickle down. That's what allows you to create a cash flow prediction. Those figures get plugged into your budget template so that they add up incrementally. The money that's coming in from a series of fund drives show you how much your list of support is in any given month.
Yeah, we need to look at this fund drive chart because it's I don't know who's looked at it, but I certainly have, and it's not.
I've looked at it too.
One of my issues is that we spent several meetings going over line by line the original budget. And I documented it, I wrote it up, I sent it out to everyone of the expenses. None of this has been corrected. I am seeing at least $100,000 of expenses that need to go in there. You cannot say you're going to cut the utilities on the tower when there's no justification for it. For example, that's a big one. I mean, we have this year's to date, we have last year's, and you can't just, wave a magic wand and say we're going to cut that expense. Same with the utilities in the office. You have to look at what the expenses are actually. You look at the year to date, you look at last year, you can't cut that. I don't know why you're cutting website income by 90%. That you can't do that, not if you want to, have a functional website, for example. But none of the comments have been addressed. There's still no election expense. There's still no expense for ratings. I mean, at this point, you may not be able to afford it, but it's not in there. And same with the election. But, we can go over this line by line again. I sent out,
election
the original comment.
In row 68 and 670, okay? It's right there in front of you.
Let me see, because I didn't see it. Let me see. 67, 68. 67 is blank. 66 is board meetings and travel. Oh, no. Nope. Total board expenses, 71 is 1350. Board election expenses, $650. Local board expenses, $700. So, yeah, I'm not seeing that. The phones are underestimated. Well, I mean, you know, I detailed this out multiple times. So this needs to be addressed. We can go over it line by line. You can argue with me. I don't know what the group wants to do, but these need to be addressed. As for the fund drive chart, I mean, you have the per day for October at 21,429. You have the per day in December, 15,647. Then in February, we have 25,000 per day. And in May, you're at 11,000, you know, 12,000, and then you're, you know, 16 at the end of the year. The number is 15,000. The number of these fund drive days is 15,000. Now, it looks like May is supposed to be a soft drive for 42 days. I don't know. But the rest of it, these numbers don't add up. You know, you're going to get 114% of your pledges raised. You're not going to get 21. There's no documentation for putting $22,000 per day in there. So that needs to
That's
be revised.
Right.
Who?
Alan Beek to the stack.
Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, okay. Well, I sent all of you just within the last couple of days a budget proposal which meets every one of the criteria. It balances the budget. It never goes over $14,000 on the drive day. It cuts expenses more than the 30% that National has dictated. It gives a complete table of drive times, dates, and the expected amount gained from each one of them, never going over 14 per day. And I think that's the essence of the big things about it. Of course, it just commits mayhem with the personnel budget. Whereas some people here are talking personnel budgets of over 2 million, I'm talking under 1 million. And that's going to be a lot of layoffs. I think that's inevitable, and that's why I was asking about what's our status on actually conducting those layoffs, and I hope I'll get an answer pretty soon. I have not been very explicit about the details. Kim is more familiar than I am with what you can actually do on the little details of the administrative and the programming and the development expenses. And she is way under 2019 on her estimates, and I'm way, way under her on my estimates. But you've got to cut the expenses if you're going to get there. And so I've there it is. It's in your hands. You've got it explicitly, line by line, with the totals shown, and meeting all those criteria, and with a complete pledge fund drive table. And in order to make the fund drives more acceptable to the listeners, I've made them short. They just go for 12 days, and there's a fund drive every month near the beginning of the month, so we hope the money is coming in time to meet the payroll. That's it. That's all we're asking for. Within all those things that can be juggled and played around, you can move things up, cut here and push there a little bit to make it more realistic. I wasn't very realistic because I don't know what's real inside the station. And Kim can do that better than I can. And Kim has done a lot of it, and I think we should pay attention to what she's doing. I'd like to include it, blend what I have with what she has said. That's it.
Okay, who else wants to speak on the budget?
Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Alan, I'm looking at your budget proposal. It's very clean, minimal. It's what we need to see. It's just that, like you said, how realistic is it? For instance, you know, cutting personnel costs, that's obviously an issue that is very, very difficult to deal with, and we can't deal with that specifically in open session. But you're also, for instance, you're proposing a cut to central services. I don't think that's up to us, central services. I think the formula is comes from national. So that might not work. Then the other issue I would take is, you know, for instance, you project, you budget less for rent on the tower and utilities on the tower. I don't know how much that is actually, how flexible that is as a line item in the budget. I don't know if we have a lot of control over how much rent we pay on the tower and so on and so forth and utilities. That's maybe something that Aniel can answer if he's still on the call. Then also I see you taking out telemarketing expenses completely. I don't know if we can do without a call center in the times of a pandemic where we don't have volunteers answering the phones. That's another issue that I see as perhaps not being premiums from other vendors. That's a very curious line item. So I believe in your budget, Alan Beek, you eliminate that line item completely. I wonder if Aniel can comment on how much do we depend right now on premiums from other vendors other than PRA, and whether it's actually doable or reasonable to expect to not purchase any premiums from outside vendors. So those are my big questions on your proposal, Alan. From what
I thought I heard you mention the tower in there, and I did not cut the expenses of the tower or the utilities on the tower. Those are things that, as I said, that's life, like death and taxes. They're for sure. So I didn't try to cut them.
Oh, yeah, no, I just saw that, for instance. You're right. I was comparing it to Aniel's projection as opposed to yours. You're right. You're sticking to the previous year numbers, right? Aniel, was there any reason why tower expenses and utilities on would be going up this year? Your projection?
Well, according to my what I'm seeing, they've lowered it by about $20,000, which I don't see as possible. Year to date, we're at $65,000, and there's still two more months to go. So my number is $76,000 for the year. They have $59,000. I don't see it. I mean, that's, you know, $20,000 right there that has to be added in. That's one of the expenses, you know, you can't change.
And Mr. Beek's numbers are completely much, much lower than that even.
That's why we're looking at my budget and my numbers, Paulina.
Well, the rent on the tower was $17,000 in 18 and $16,000 in 19, and I'm budgeting it at $21,000. I'm allowing for it to go up.
Tower's already at $22,000.
No, that's annual's estimate. That's not 18 and 19. The rails were 17,000 and 16,000. and I've gone up to 21. That's pretty real.
That's because they put $5,000 in the wrong place, okay? And that went back in where it belongs in the tower rental. That's why that's $22,000 now, because that $5,000 was elsewhere, and it got moved to where it should be. So that is the correct number. I wish you could pay, you know, I've gone over this.
Neil, hang up.
No, I'm on, Paulina. Sorry, I was muted. You asked a couple of questions, and can you ask them again? I'm sorry. You had a couple of questions for me.
Sure, I did. Do you expect increased expenses on the tower rent and utilities this year?
Not on the tower rent. Not on the tower rent, but possibly utilities. I mean, the times that it does, the power needs increases during hot weather when we need more air conditioning up there too as well. But we have installed, I think late last year or sometime last year. Barry, you can confirm. I forget the date. That's a Stewart question. We did replace an antiquated air conditioning system with a newer, more efficient model.
Okay.
That was during February 2019. Okay. And you had another question, Paulina?
I did, yeah, about premiums from other vendors. What do you? I know that you're trying to shift away from a premium model. Are you expecting to purchase fewer premiums or spend less on premiums from outside vendors?
Well, the expectation, that's going to be our effort, is to vastly reduce the number of premiums we use in a given fund drive, as well as outside vendors. We're doing more due diligence on controlling costs there. I think, Terry, if you're still on, if you want to weigh in on this and the expense of premiums and our efforts to, you know, vastly reduce that too as well.
Well, there's the unquantified cost of just the overhead of processing premiums beyond what it costs us to actually purchase them and the shipping and shipping materials. And some are very labor intensive. And obviously, the fewer premiums we have to deal with, the less time we'll be spending on them. So, I think, overall, minimizing the number of different items we offer would be positive.
Terry, let me ask you, has there been any decrease in this in the last couple of months? Because year to date, we've spent $160,000 in premiums. And as have I said before, which isn't your area, Terry, but the postage is not being broken out where it should be, so we don't really know what that postage is. But the premiums to date has been $160,000. Has it decreased in the last 3-4 months, in the last 6 months? Or something that we can actually expect some sort of decrease going forward?
Well, I would think just by lowering the total number of premiums we've been offering, you're going to see an overall general lessening. Some premiums are going to be more expensive than others, so it's hard to be very specific. But, overall, I think we are going in a good direction of lowering the number of variables.
This is Grace for the stack.
I have Grace.
Okay, I'm going to be a little bit redundant because Terry and Aniel are on the call, so I'd like them to have this information. And that is that there are no reserves across the network.
to make up for shortfalls at KPFK, which, because we have traditionally had a very high income, our shortfalls would dwarf shortfalls at stations that traditionally have had lower total revenue and total expenses. So the consequences of not being able to meet our expenses moving forward are, number one, if we can't make our payroll, we may be forced to sell our building, which would be a nightmare. Moving forward, if that is not seen as being the right remedy, there might be a justification, if we can't make payroll, to shut the station down entirely, because that was a justification used by people who shut down WBAI. The rationale was, if a station can't make payroll, it is imperative that the station be shut down. Now, I'd like to say that the people behind, the principal people behind the bylaws amendments that are just being floated around in petition form were the main people who put forward this justification, including Jan Goodman, stated that publicly over and over, that if a station can't make a their payroll, they must be shut down. So I want to reiterate the fact that the PNB mandated, and this is the vote, the National Station Board, I'm sorry, the National Finance Committee voted without objection to have KPFK reduce its expenses, total expenses, by 30% at least. The National Board also voted on that same motion unanimously, without objection. So this is not something that's controversial. The National Board and the National Finance Committee want expenses reduced by 30%. Do you have a plan, and are you going to present it tomorrow night to the PNB, that reduces expenses at KPFK by 30% annual?
The plan I'm presenting reduces it by 40%.
Okay, I'm directing this question to Annual now. Because this is a we are in really dire straits, and the consequences of not taking immediate action are really dire.
Okay, I greatly do understand that, and I've sent the outline of my workforce reduction plan to the PMB. That is a start, but as I've mentioned, we may face issues, and we can't expect to make massive workforce reduction cuts because of the expenses that are incurred with doing any kind of layoffs. Now, aside from that, I understand that we are in a dire situation. If there are any other suggestions on where else we can cut, I'm open to that. Now, Barry and I have gone, and the team as well, have gone through our operations, our operational costs, and have done what we can in terms of not affecting our day-to-day operations and making cuts there. And I think the next level of cuts, if we are going to look at seriously doing, do involve cuts that would affect our day-to-day operations. And that can include everything from repairs to studio equipment, availability of supplies for volunteer and paid programmers, et cetera, et cetera.
Steve, to the staff.
I guess as you had explained, the worst case scenario is, of course, selling the building. And that is something I did suggest in my plan submitted in June, although that was only any worst case scenario. Although, given the fact that we are still up against the clock for paying the loans back incurred for the Empire State Building and other reasons, If it looks like Pacifica as a whole is not going to be able to pay those back, this might be a contingency we should start exploring as soon as possible. And I'll leave it at that.
Steve, to the stack. Ken?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Can I speak?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
please.
Okay. Aniel, what would it take to discontinue the pension plan? I know that seems cold-hearted, but in this situation, it might be something that something to dispense with.
That's beyond my purview, and that would involve the national board and, of course, the executive director, and ultimately negotiating or bargaining with the collective bargaining unit, SAG-AFTRA. I don't know if that's a very possible thing in any term of immediacy. However, I think we should put everything on the table.
Right. Now, is the pension plan negotiated with the union, with SAG-AFTRA? That only cover a few employees there that are SAG-AFTRA members?
No, close to, I think, 90% of our employees are SAG-AFTRA. We're a union house, so... These are deals that were made way before my tenure, and give me just a moment. I really don't want to go into it too much detail because that is a personnel matter for an executive session.
How many people are actually covered by the pension plan?
I don't have that number in front of me at the moment.
Roughly, is it a handful? Is it five? Is it 10?
I'd say it's the majority of the union staff members. Close to 20.
Which is 90% of the people there, so we're talking about 20 people?
Give or take, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't have that information in front of me.
This would require an alteration of the contract?
Yes.
Renegotiation with SAG-AFTRA?
Yes.
Is there anybody in Pacifica that handles the pension plan specifically?
I know we've had difficulty at the beginning of my tenure or when I came on that there were issues with Pacifica and all of its stations that were paying into pension plans. Maybe Grace could speak to that. But things were ironed out and payments were paid back on what was owed. But in terms of administering the station itself doesn't do that. That's through, and I forget the name of the company off the top of my head, but NEDA handles that along with the administrators for the pension plant. I forget the vendor's name.
If we had this on the table, we were going to pursue it. Who in Pacifica would be the person to talk to about discontinuing the pension plan?
Ultimately, that would fall upon Lydia to making that change or signing off on that kind of a change, for my understanding. This isn't something I've done before, so sorry I can't answer your question accurately. I would defer Lydia and our negotiations on that.
Steve, with all due respect, this is out of our purview here, okay? There are a number of problems with the budget that we have that is in our purview. Getting rid of the pension is not in our purview.
Kim, while we're at it, can you mention other things that are not in our purview?
There are plenty of things that are in our purview which we need to address today.
What is outside of our purview? The fund drive charge
and the expenses that are not correct in the budget that we have. This needs to be addressed.
What's not in our purview?
The pension plan, getting rid of it.
Anything else?
Well, that's what you've been, asking repeated questions about.
I just wonder if there's other things that are not in our purview and shouldn't be talked about. I'm just asking that.
I don't know, Steve, until we get there. But that's, questioning Aniel about something which we have no control over is, can we move on, please? Can we please move on?
Thank you.
John, into the queue.
Go ahead, John.
This question is to Aniel. I'm just thinking that if I were an employee there and I had a choice between being laid off versus having my pension plan not ended forever, but maybe just put on hold until we get through this emergency situation, My question is, have you considered or have you spoken with the staff to ask them which of the two scenarios they prefer? Because I think that's interesting information to have. And number two, there was a proposal long ago put forth by Alan Minsky and Sonali Kolhatkar back under a previous administration there, suggesting that we adopt the collective model of the Basque collectives. And Sonali and Minsky are experts on this. The idea is to essentially not be bound by contract so much, to be more of a employee-oriented process with regard to these kinds of decisions, which affect everybody. Because if the station folds just because we're stuck with a union contract, then that would be a shame if we could have gotten out of it. If the employee said, "We unanimously ask that you suspend our pension plan such that we can get the station can survive. This is an emergency after all." So those are my two questions. And I offer this as a positive, hopefully positive suggestions.
Well, let me answer that. I've been asked not to until I've gotten authority again by the PMBM executive director to continue negotiations with SAG-AFTRA. It's always been my intention to sit at the bargaining table. And I think that is the best path forward, not only to plan for immediate needs, but also put things on the table, ranging from maybe what you guys have said. I can't speak for the staff and the collective bargaining agreement, unit. But I think with healthy negotiations, we can come up to something that is fair for both the station's interests and, of course, for the well-being of our staff. But I'm hoping that we will be able to return to the bargaining table. I've got a great great relations with Patricia, who is the representative for that unit. And Terry is the union steward, so I guess he may have something to say on that. But I think we cannot do this without sitting down at the bargaining table. And I think if we are given that opportunity sooner rather than later, where we can resume negotiations, I think we could work something out.
I agree, and I think the parallel process is the way to go, to have a plan B as well as a plan C as well as a plan A. So good luck with both of those.
Thank you. Terry, did you want to give a few words on that?
Frankly, no.
Okay.
Does anybody have any comments directly on the budget? Okay.
Yes, I do. Alan Beek.
Oh, God. Okay, Alan. Okay.
And then Michael.
The budget is not that important. If you get the wrong numbers in the budget, what damage does it do? The budget does not control how much you spend, how much you earn. It does not control what you do in running the station. It's just a fantasy. It's a guess at what's going to happen. And it's not that important to get it exactly right.
Well, I disagree. I have experience with getting it right and being able to anticipate problems going forward. That is the point of having a good budget. So you can anticipate problems before you get to where we are now, which is completely insolvent. Michael Novick, were you next?
I think so.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
So, again, I think the budget has to start with the revenue and is the revenue sound or not. You can't spend money you don't have. So once we can get a clear estimate of what our actual revenue is going to be for the coming year, that's the basis for negotiations or any other changes you make and what you're going to spend. But you can't spend money you don't have. So the budget is a reflection of our anticipation of what we think we're going to have to spend. And we have to err on the side of caution in that regard. We can't fantasize money that we don't have and commit ourselves to spending it. So the budget has to start on the revenue side. And the revenue side that we've suggested is that
we can't anticipate, based on any past experience, more than about $15,000 a day coming in our on-air fund drives. And if we want to do, if we want to commit to a soft drive all year long, then we have to look at what we came up with. Alan is proposing 12-day fund drives. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think we expect our listeners to stick around if the first practically 2 weeks of every month are fund drives. So what the LSB suggested was 6 fund drives, which is excessive to a certain extent, but 6 21-day fund drives during the course of the year, every couple of months, and not to anticipate more than about $15,000 a day in pledges. And, you know, again, I'll reiterate, you worked at the figures that go into the listener support columns, and, you know, Terry should know this, you get a projection of how much money is pledged, how much of that pledged money comes in the first month, how much comes in the next month, the third month. Those figures get plugged into the budget. As you know, we can't have a negative cash flow for 2 months or 3 months in a row and stay in business. So we have to be able to sustain our payroll, and the payroll therefore cannot exceed what we can legitimately expect to raise. So the personnel costs keep going up, and our income keeps going down. That's a whipsaw. And so there are places you can cut personnel costs, beginning with management. They're not covered by the union contract. And I think that we have to think seriously about some of those cuts, whether it's in hours or in entire staffing on the management side. You know, I was a union shop steward for many years of my teaching career, and one of the slogans the UTLA always had was chop from the top. If they have to make cuts in the education budget, you start cutting on management first. So I'll put that out as a proposal. I think there are management cuts that need to be made. And they're not subject to any union negotiation because they're in the management. And then when you make those, you have a credible basis on which you go to the union and say, look, we've cut, you know, a lot out of this budget already, but it's still not going to balance. And we're in a position where we face not being able to pay our payroll, and that's a fatal position. So we must cut our payroll. In terms of the pension for the year is a minuscule amount on this budget. It's I saw it a minute ago. It's like $30,000 or something like that. Is that pension plan contributions are $2,500 a month for a total of $30,000 for the year. That's not going to make the difference that we need in the overall budget. The difference in the overall budget is going to come from significant cuts in the gross salaries, which will also result in cuts in the payroll taxes, FICA and SUI, and the pension contributions, because if you've cut you know, some positions. So I know that you've raised a certain number of those, but I think that, you know, the rest of them have to be figured out and made. It's not the job of this committee to go through position by position necessarily, but somebody has to do that, and that falls to the top management. So, you know, I think...
Positions? Michael, do you think we can cut 7 positions from the current staff?
Well, I think we start with management. I think, either hours or positions for management have to be cut, and then additional cuts probably have to be made. Yes. You know, there was an attempt to cut hours, and I still think that's something to look at. The California Unemployment Insurance Fund will subsidize cuts in hours in lieu of layoffs. That was before COVID, and it's still the case now. And so, you know, people didn't like it last time, but it's still there as an option this time.
Actually, it's attractive. It's gotten more attractive with the federal subsidy.
Okay. This is Kim. I would like to just comment on the revenue that Michael just spoke to. You have now the car donations going up from, it's been a pretty steady $100,000 for the last X amount of years. Now, for some reason, you're anticipating over $200,000 in car donations. This is what I call fantasy revenue. It's a non-starter. $100,000 is the historical amount that belongs there. Number two, you have major donor income at $215,000. This is unsupportable by any historical data. I mean, last year was like $67,000, and you have $75,000 in this under $1,000 income donations, which historically has been zero. This is fantasy revenue. This must stop. You need to go over this with a realistic fine-tooth comb. But, like, it's got to be from the realistic, section of whatever. This really needs to be addressed. And, again, all of these expenses needs to be looked at with what I have already documented out, before we can even really know what we're dealing with here. And this fund drive chart needs to be redone with $15,000 a day for the year. And if you want to do soft drives, well, that's, you got to figure that out as well. I mean, what is that, $9,000, $5,000, $4,000 a day? That's fine, but we need to see real numbers. I know this is the first time you've had to do a fund drive chart, but, there's no time like the present to, learn how to do it. It's better, somebody here said, if you don't detach it from the whole template so those numbers actually pop into the listener support properly. I'm done for now. Grace,
Yeah, just to go back to Steve's question. Large cuts in expenses are absolutely necessary. There's no way around this. I don't think that selling the building is acceptable in any way, shape, or form. This is not a good route to take. I don't think that would have board support. I don't think it would have the support of the IED. I don't think it would have the local station board support. So the only way to keep the station going any kind of realistic way is to do careful but significant expense cuts. And that the quicker they're done, the better, because the longer it takes, the deeper they're going to have to be. So this is the direction we have to go in, and we have to have a budget that is realistic, as Kim said, not that has any kind of unrealistic income projections, because, Aniel, you sent an article around from Nielsen that stated that income, radio listenership has declined during the COVID crisis by 15 to 20% across the nation. Now, this means that our listenership, through no fault of our own, will be expected to decline, and our revenue will follow that decline. And so many people now are going to be permanently working from home because corporations have understood that working from home benefits the corporation and the employee. So I don't think that after the COVID is over, that there'll be a bounce back to high listenership across the country for radio. because this may be a permanent situation. So we must factor in that there are going to be declines in revenue because there are a lot of people out of work, because radio listenership is down, because our own trends show declining fund drive income, because we have no, right now, no event income, and we have no underwriting income. So that's another decline that we have to face. And there's no guarantee that we're going to have any other windfall bequests or anything of that nature. So we have to really tighten our belts. Our income has declined, according to statements at the and the National Finance Committee last night. KPFK's income has declined by 34%. This has to be made up for with expense cuts as soon as absolutely possible. That's the only route. It must be done. This is what the National Board wants, what the National Finance Committee wants, and what the IED wants. Now
but
we
where?
Have to just do it.
But where, Grace? Cut what? We're down to the bone as it is.
This is Dave.
We really need to look at the budget. Everybody needs to actually look at the numbers of this budget. Enough magic wand waving. Please. Read what has already what is in there and what I've written.
We have
let's
to
get
face
some
reality.
Real numbers. Let's just not talk in generalities, Grace. We need to get a real budget here with real numbers.
Look,
I mean, do we have to go down the line again?
I'd like to respond to that, Kim.
Fine.
The bulk of the cuts have to be made in employee expenses.
Fine, but you don't have the right numbers. You're not dealing with the right numbers yet.
Okay.
Okay? We need to get right numbers to know actually what we need to do. Anyways, I heard somebody else who wanted the stack.
Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dave.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, just I'm going. Just to answer that specifically, didn't Leslie Radford cut the payroll by 50%? If you took the monthly payroll expenses and you factor in the health care expenses and pension, wouldn't that do it? I mean, she did it without negotiating with the union, the Obregon, the Modrogon model that Sonali is so in favor with, goes to the employees and says, look, you can all have jobs or you can all cut your hours and your pay. That's one way to do it. It'd be a 50% reduction. It goes to what Grace is saying about our payroll expenses. And, I mean, even with the SAG-AFTRA people, getting rid of someone, all unpleasant as it might be, does not cost the same for someone who's worked for the station for 25 years and someone who's worked for the station for two years. So, you know, that has to be looked at. Leslie Radford did it the wrong way, but she did cut the revenue, monthly employment revenue by 50%. And, maybe we need to do that with the management and everyone else. And then car donations. I mean, gee whiz, you know, we donated to a car. I donated a car last year, and I can't even get the guys to give me a receipt for my car donation, the company that we're using. That doesn't happen with KPCC. We've mentioned many times that you could have a Saturday morning paid programming kind of model, like what they do on some of the local television shows, where for a couple hours on Saturday or Sunday morning, we run a Christine Blasdale program, have the call centers take those donations. That could be done every weekend, just for a couple hours on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. The latest statistics show something like households, less than about 30% or so of households, no longer have a house radio in the house. Maybe one of the premiums should be giving away an FM radio. And then we also have to remember that we're doing these soft drives. They're going to have diminishing returns and have a negative effect on the hard drives. So just like if you're doing a production model where people learn how to build something faster as they do it week by week, we might have to consider a declining scale on what soft drive revenue will look like. And the other thing is are we, in terms of our soft drives, are we following a WBAI model or are we following a KPFA model as how they do things? Are we following the station as the worst revenue or the best? That's all.
With the soft drive, that was done in April due to our cash flow. As we've been working to change models in the way that we've traditionally raised funds by doing extended fund drives. We've been working with programmers and developing messaging and various campaigns in between drives so that, one, we're not taking up a bunch of airtime with fundraising. However, for the next 30 days, or not 30 days, but for the next few weeks, you will hear fund drive message, or not fund drive messaging, but appeal messaging, you know, asking folks to do donate. We do see contributions coming in or trickle in outside of fund drive days. And now we're also asking programmers once or twice during their program, going into a break or coming out of a break, to briefly remind listeners that we are listener supported. But most importantly, we're working on messaging to draw new listeners into donating to the station, as some of them may or may not know the needs that public radio does have for fundraising. And in between fund drives, our focus really should be for new donors and, of course, adding to our sustainer base. But as we do add people to our sustainer base and raise funds in between fund drive days, you're absolutely right. We will see lower averages. But I think it's important that we do this, because and encourage people to make these donations online, one, because it's cheaper, but we do see the cash come in relatively quickly rather than people sending in checks and or by phone. And Barry, if you'd like, I forget the exact timeline for when a donation today would arrive in our account. I think it's maybe once a month. Yeah, help me out on that one, Barry.
When the person makes the donation, it's like it hits our bank within probably like 10 days, like 10 to 15 days.
So with a what we're calling a silent campaign going through from Public Radio Day, which is tomorrow, through the last week of September, it'll be a silent campaign, which is just mostly messaging. And again, as I said, that soft appeal, or to remind listeners that we are listener supported. In the last week of the fiscal year, we will go into soft campaign mode with messaging, essentially saying we're still working on messaging for that week, but essentially saying we have the fund drive coming up next week, which will start on October 1st. We're asking you to make your contributions now. And we're working on a number of incentives to encourage people to donate that, one, really don't cost us any money. One we've kicked around for this week is for online donors, that if you make a donation, you get access to the KPFK speaker series, Chris Hedges. Now, I've been in talks with PRA to offer similar promotions that we could use. These are kind of strategies in between drives. For example, with the PRA material, we're hoping to have some stuff for Labor Day weekend, where if you make a contribution of any amount, you'll get these various items or various recordings from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And then we hope, upon following up with that offering to those donors, is an upsell or at least an offer at a discounted rate for the full collection of either the our 61st anniversary PRA material and or the Voices That Changed the World. So these are some of the strategies we're working to deploy in between fund drives with the intention of helping improve our cash flow so we're not having a big dip in cash in between drives. So these are some of the strategies that we are working to deploy in the years to, or in the next year to come. We're also going to be doing our first ever renewal notices and end of the year mailer going out this year. We haven't done it in, I believe, about 10 years or so, and we're hoping for a return on that. What that may also do is affect the end of the year drive numbers, as people may either donate during that fund drive or donate before. And it's our aim to start sending out those letters mid-November, right after the PRA fund drive, so that we're not overlapping with messaging.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you've had 2 years to be putting all these into effect. How's that been working out so far? And what kind of textbook evidence do you have that the soft drives and these other plans will actually work? That's why I alluded to, are we following a WBAI model where they have a soft drive going on 365 days of the year? Or are we following somebody a little more successful like KPFA? And also, with the COVID problem, we've already discussed about how we have, say, 15 or even 20% fewer listeners now because they're not driving in their cars, they're not listening to the radio. That's a fact. We have very low listener numbers as it is. We keep asking for the same for money from the same listeners. And that's why when you ask for money from them, whether it's a hard drive or a soft drive, you have to really be curious as to whether it's going to happen. All stations, NPR and you name it, are enduring significant reductions in donations and listenership because of COVID. We are no different. They don't have it figured out. I would like to know what evidence that the general manager can provide to us to say that what his solution, without touching the payroll expenses like what we're discussing as per Grace, will work. Thank you.
I did not say that we would not touch payroll expenses. Again, I said everything should be on the table, including of other ways to improve our cash flow, even though the situations are weak. We should, as I say to the programmers, we should always be looking to raise money every day, more so when we're in an online or when we're in an on-air fund drive. Now, yes, KPFA does do similar things. I don't think doing 3 hours a day, every day, a fund drive is going to work for this station.
Well, listeners disagree with you that it's okay to every time they turn on the radio to have one of the programmers asking for money. So, unfortunately, that's what the listeners are telling us. That's what I keep getting emails about, and that's what I believe to be true. However, we do know that just a few months ago, Leslie Radford came in and basically cut the payroll by cutting hours. We can all go on the budget. We can see what the monthly payroll expense is, and we can all take a very quick calculation to see what a 50% reduction in that would do. And so I know you said, I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for. We shouldn't have contractors. We shouldn't have Wendell. We shouldn't have Tony Bates. We shouldn't have all these added expenses, paying for people to manage the phone room overnight, paying the, the reception to come in and pay for someone there instead of having 5-day-a-week volunteers with backup volunteers to step in. We shouldn't be spending money off budget, which we've been doing since you've taken over, whether it's widescreen TVs in the green room or in the conference room. Even the anniversary party was a complete off-budget expense. We keep spending money we don't have. They're not on the budget. We can't pay for them. And up until this point, we haven't seen anything other than very minor tidbit reductions in expenses and nothing of significance that we needed. And I would put it to you that while we had the PPP money, we should have been doing the layoffs because we would have had the money to cut and let people go and pay off the payout. So all of those are missed opportunities. It's got an opportunity cost to the station to continue on in this pathway and not doing anything until the last minute, until it has to be done with a gun up to our head. And as Grace Aaron said, maybe having to sell the building. So that's about all I have to do to say to that. We have a basic general management problem. We're very cushy and happy with the staff and with other people, but we don't attend finance committee meetings. We don't learn. We are like a second or third string football player that doesn't want to go to practice because he doesn't want other players to see how he needs improvement. And I think it's a disgrace that it's taken this long for you to attend a finance committee meeting. And I think you should be ashamed of yourself for not coming up with cuts back in January, or and especially after March when COVID became so apparent. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
If I may say, I do appreciate your comments, Dave, but you have almost no idea what's either gone on or what efforts have been made. And I will leave it at this, that I did begin to have that conversation about cuts well before COVID did start and laying the road for collective bargaining. Aside from that, you know,
we didn't do anything about it then.
And on one more other note, when Leslie did make those sweeping cuts, the station had to pay recompense because of the grievance that was filed against us. If I'm not going to be able to do an answer and I'm going to continue to be talked over, I will discontinue my phone call here because I have plenty of other work to do that is station-related business. I'm not getting here to get into a shouting match. I'm here to answer your question, hear your solutions. And here's one thing I will ask from either you, Kim, or the Finance Committee as a whole. We've presented a number of budgets, and we've made some changes, and yes, there are some imperfections in it, and there are some uncertainties that we can't even account for. However, I would love to see you guys put a budget together, and perhaps looking at our two budgets side by side, that'll be a better way to work from.
I've already done that work, Annyeong. I will spend time with you and Barry going over it line by line if you want me to.
I would appreciate that outside of a finance committee meeting, so we can actually just focus on getting the work done and not getting caught up in sidebar, conversations. I'd rather have just a productive meeting. So if we want to set up a meeting, Kim, and Barry, to go line by that, I'm open to that. I'd rather just focus on utilizing that time. Because look, folks, I'm not making any excuses when I say I have a lot to do and covering for other responsibilities in other areas that we've already cut to as well that I see as equally important to the survival of the station. So, Kim, if there is time, I think Thursday and Friday, Friday may be a good day, or next week, Monday, if you want to send an email to me and Barry, we can set aside a few hours for us to go through line by line. I think that'll be far more productive than a full meeting. It's not that we have anything to hide, it's just I want to be able to focus and get all the line by line to get it right.
Steve, to the start.
Paulina, yeah, if I may. Before you leave,
go ahead.
Very briefly, to your report, I'm looking at your report for the fund drive, right, the last full fund drive, July 28th to August 12th. And
yeah.
Very curious, the numbers. I think that this is important data that everybody should be looking at, especially people who are interested in evaluating the budget or producing one to start. So it basically, the top, you give us the top 10 raised by program, right? And it sounds like background briefing raised, would it be almost 40%? Of everything, of the whole, of the total. And then Christine Blosdale specials is the next one, which is absolutely $60,000 plus by background briefing, $30,000 by Christine Blosdale specials, and then the third is Margaret Prescott with Sojourner Truth, $12,000 plus, and then Sonali, Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, Tom Hartman, Something's Happening, Question Everything, and Michael Slate Show, right, the top 10 raised by program. And then by premiums, you state that almost half of what was raised, $98,736.55, were no premium donations. And then the rest, then it says multiple premiums. Do you mean that that's for PACs, $19,000? Is that for premium PACs or for combinations?
That's just... I'll answer that. People do pick a number of various items, and Terry can expand upon that too as well. But I think one of the bright spots to having engaging with programs and spending more time in between fund drives, preparing for fund drives and a number of meetings and workshops and working directly with programmers is preparing them to make the ask for just a straight up donation. I think that's been one of our bright spots from this last fund drive. Terry, if you want to go ahead and kind of speak on donor habits in terms of them picking multiple premiums. If you're still there, Terry.
Terry? But my basic question is, has this fund drive been different in your evaluation in terms of donor habits and donations? So are we seeing more donations just for to support the radio as opposed to purchase a premium in your appreciation of the matter? A, that's the first question. And B, are you seeing without, you know, necessarily... Well, I mean, I guess this is not personnel matters. This is just what we're seeing. Oops, something's going on there with feedback. Are we seeing a change in your evaluation of the matter? Are we seeing a change in the way people are donating and the kind of premiums they're requesting?
In terms of the kinds of premiums, this last fund drive, we saw more books going. We did have some really great books that we offered this fund drive. And I think we'll see that as we offer less variety of premiums, we'll see, you know, those few premiums get more donations, obviously. But the feedback I've gotten from listeners has been positive in the approach that we've been taking fund drives. I think, it's, of course, we can always continue to learn with each fund drive, both for paid programmers and the support staff and volunteers as well. And as we go into this next, the big fund drive in October, we'll continue to take this approach as fewer premiums and these few premiums being offered in more than 1 hour. Traditionally, previously, each program would come up with several premiums, which was cumbersome and hard to keep track of and caused a number of issues in the membership department. So that this way, now that we're having premiums that are being used in various programs, we are seeing some successes. I mean, PRA material's been great. But in some of the books that were offered during this fund drive, I think that's, you know, Margaret had used Greg Palace. This is one that didn't do too well, but it's the first one that came to mind. Margaret's used the Greg Palace book. Sonali used it as well, and I think Tom Hartman. So we are moving towards having programmers share premiums that they traditionally wouldn't do or wouldn't use.
And finally, very briefly, sorry to interrupt you. I think that, you know, going back to maybe Dave's comment, when we hear from listeners that they hate the fund drive, that happens when fund drive shows get pre-recorded and then get played over and over again. Then, of course, it's an insult to any listener supporter because, you know, you're being treated as if this is a fresh program when it's not, and you've heard it a million times. Is there any way, for instance, our development director, Christine Blosdale, could work on that, on producing fresh programming weekly, right, so that we stay away as much as possible from reruns of especially fund drive programming?
I think this is going to be something that isn't going to get resolved overnight. And then you've heard me say, Polina, I'd like to maintain as much of the programming as possible. There are instances, and there are many instances, programmers don't want to participate or don't have the extra time that's necessary to participate. I hosted a programmer meeting yesterday, and that was the case for two of our programs that said, sorry, in October, we won't be available. So Christine's reruns on those have worked. And I think as we continue to move forward and empower programmers to participate in fund drives, we hope those numbers will go up. And we've seen some successes with some of the programs that, modest successes with some of the programs that haven't. I think this time around, Spanish language has fared better in this last fund drive than in the last two fund drives, as one example. But we need more, if I were to use an analogy, we need more players on the bench that are capable of pitching. And so, see, this is why I find Christine to be an asset. And she has been made available to work with programmers, and she's done, you know, worked with particularly the health and wellness programmers, because that's her interest, as we all know. However, we need more people on our bench to do pitching or to join programs that don't pitch well to pitch with them. So, and this is why it's important that we do engage with our programmers to help uplift them and empower them to, you know, to execute a proper message. I hope that answers your question, Polina.
Almost, yeah, but in the meantime, while we have only one or two good pitchers on the bench, why can't we ask those pitchers to put in more than their share, perhaps, or to do fresh, you know, to pitch over and over, even instead of just recording something, you know?
let me answer that. Depending upon the premium and the guest, that guest may not be available, because if you do listen to the program, that program is really geared towards featuring the content of that premium and the guest speaker. So it's like if you, Polina, have the same guest over and over every week, you know, for each week, it doesn't, you know, the guest may not be available that many times and readily available to record four or five different versions of it.
Of course not. As a host, I would come in and I would just play cuts of the previous program and come in fresh. Every week, every time, to ask for money on the air live, and then of course play cuts from the previously recorded, produced, beautifully produced program with the guest recorded, and that works a lot better. And that, I think that's that does a lot more service for the listeners. But that's just my 2 cents. Thanks. I'm done.
Steve to the stack. Kim. Anil, can I ask you
I was on mute. Go ahead, Steve, but we want to start wrapping this up. So,
right.
You know.
Okay, I'll be, thank you, to the point. Anil, I really appreciate what you're saying, and I know things are a little short, and it's easy to lose attitude between all of us. I thank you for your good work. I hope we all can keep a good attitude towards each other, because attacking each other is not going to help things. But, Anil, I wanted to ask your vision about premiums. What is the position you think in KPFK for premiums? What should we be pitching, and what should we not be pitching, and what really works with the effort to promote a given thing, and what doesn't work? I know that's a little broad. Whatever you do.
No. Actually, I appreciate your question, Steve. I think for the long term, and yes, this isn't going to have a deep impact on our current crisis, but I've been from the long standing that the premium one pitch should be the station itself. But now today, more and more people are paying for experiences, both in the nonprofit and for-profit sectors. And I think our premium should lend well to that. And it's one of the reasons why, understandably, we can't do events nowadays. Events, I think, in the last year and a half have been traditionally successful for us in engaging with the member directly. And I think it's extremely important. If you look at the nonprofit industry and what works in getting people to donate more than once is engagement. And I've been speaking about that since the beginning of my tenure. And our challenge has been not having the tools to do it properly. Now with premiums should do two things. They should bring a new donor into our database. However, more often than not, from what I can ascertain, I don't have concrete data yet. Once we finish the data migration, we can take a deeper dive. But it's my understanding, having engaged with donors on a number of scenarios, is that people that do pledge, particularly like for the Christine items, those are usually one-off, and they're not really donating to the station, they're shopping. And I think we've got to have a few strategies in play to retain new donors. And we've had very little effort or standard practice of retaining new donors. And so that has an effect on our donor retention rate too as well. Because if you have a bunch of people just donating once for a product and not really caring about the organization or being engaged to care about the organization, we won't see them make a second, third, or at the very least, an annual gift. And so that's why it's important for us to do the end of the year mailer and to do renewals as a standard practice, what other nonprofits do. Another thing that premiums should do for the station, I think logo items and PRA material not only represent who we are, but they're our own products. And once they've been paid for to produce, so to speak, with the exception of T-shirts, I'm talking about like the KPFK speaker series or PRA material, the costs do drop after production. And so that's another way to get a higher return on our investment. But I think we need to really shy away from the home shopping network style and really focus on the value of the station. And I'm happy to see that, you know, we did bring some people back to the fold with that kind of pitch in some areas.
Okay. And you speak of experiences. Steve, Hollywood.
Steve, we've got to move on. We've got to move on, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Daniel.
We got to move on. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for 3 hours now. Now, I want to say, first of all, that the whatever you want to call them, the community events have net loss for the last 2 years. Just I want to point out. Now, Enyel or Barry, I'm not going to call you. If you want to meet with me to go over the budget, you two get together and get a time that's good for you, and then you contact me, okay? That's the way it's going to work, because I've made this offer to you before, and you blew me off. So if you're interested in going over it and getting a good budget, solid numbers, you let me know when you want to do it, and I'll meet at any time.
Done.
If there's no other, is there any other wrap up that people have to say? Because I don't know where we're going. None of this is helping us, you know, get to where we need to go, which is to get a good budget.
Well, it seems like the best recommendation is to cut the salaries temporarily.
Okay.
We're
a long way from there. Is that it? Is that it? Does anybody have anything else? Because otherwise, you know, there's one more item on the agenda, and we can just move on to that. And, you know, if the PND wants a good budget, they're going to have to do something other than what they're doing, because they're not working with good numbers. I'm sorry, but these are not good numbers yet. And I'm hoping we can get there, because not only, as I forget who said this, you know, it's not just about making a budget, but it is about being able to do monthly oversight. So you have a budget that is on, you know, with real numbers that you compare it to the monthly expenses. And we're running at least a month late or so, a month or two, by, you know, getting these P&Ls from NITA, because Barry doesn't give them to us. So there's a lag time. And even in terms of, like, knowing if we're not, if we're going over expenses, we're still at a handicap here. But that is the point of having a good budget. There's no fluff. There's no fluff. We can't, you know, let it go by a month.
Alan, bake to the stack.
Okay, Alan. And then we got to, I mean.
Well, I think it's important for our negotiations with the union that we'll be able to show them without doubt, that we are on the virtue of going bankrupt, that we aren't going to be able to make the payroll. They'll find the building sold, and they won't be able to come to work because there's no work there. They have to be convinced that's true, and that depends on having believable figures of our finances and how the money is coming and going. And from that point of view, I think that the work Kim and Barry have been doing in trying to get it straightened out so we do have financial reports we can really trust is very important. And I think that would probably come even ahead of trying to get a budget that's good, because the budget doesn't do anything for you. But having actual financial numbers, knowing where you are, is what does something for you.
Okay. We need it all. We need it all, Alan. It can be done. We need it all. Okay. There's one more thing on the budget. Does anybody have anything else they want to say regarding this? As far as I'm concerned, you know, we need another draft. I mean, we need another draft of this budget.
I am offering you another draft. It meets all the criteria.
Alan, stop. You don't have the floor. You don't have the floor. Management makes the budget, Alan. That's the way it is.
I request the floor.
You don't have the floor right now. I do. We need another draft from management as soon as possible. I mean, you know, I can make a budget in a couple of hours, and I've done it. I've done it for 10 years. It is not complicated, people.
John, into the queue.
Okay, go ahead.
If I heard correctly, and I might not because my hearing is fading, I thought I heard Anil say done when you said that you wanted him and Barry to basically choose a time convenient to you and then let you know. And I thought I heard him say done. If that's the case, then I would suggest that you do that, and together, collectively, you get that work done before you ask for the draft, for a follow-up draft, for whatever.
Either way.
I mean, maybe
either way.
And actually, it would be most convincing if it was a draft from the three of you. I would give that a whole lot of more credibility than a draft from any single one of you, because you would have buy-in from the three of you. It would just be more believable.
Right.
So I'm done.
Okay. What I heard Anil say was that I should give him a call on Thursday or Friday. And I'm saying, no, you get your schedule together and let me know when you want to meet, and I will meet you on the phone or, you know, 6 feet away, or we can do it on the phone.
Let him clarify.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I said, done. I've got to confer with Barry and look at my schedule and see if either Friday or Monday works, but I think Monday is a more likely scenario.
Just let me know. It's fine, you know. But ball is in your court.
Thank you,
Anil, for validating my hearing. That's a joke.
Well, you know. Okay. Can we move on or what?
Move on.
Anybody, you know, there are a lot of people who have nothing to say about this. You know, and people are going to complain that I'm doing all the talking, and I don't, you know.
We're ready to move, Kim.
Okay. Well, I mean, if Anil and Terry want to hang out, they can. I just have a simple motion. Well, you can listen to this motion that I'm presenting. The Finance Committee approves the chair writing a letter from the Finance Committee to the ICFO inquiring about the status of KPFK's insurance. I have brought this up a number of times for over a year since I started noticing it on the P&L. The business manager has not given me a satisfactory answer about the status of this insurance. I have written to Lydia and copied the PNB and maybe the NFC. Nobody has responded to this. I am very concerned because I want a definitive answer on this insurance. My understanding, I'll say it again, has been that this is earthquake insurance, not insurance that the rest of the network carries. Now, I want a definitive response from the ICFO that either they're paying it or we have to pay for it. That's what I'm asking for. I will write a note, and either I will send it from me as chair or I will send it from, you know, on behalf of the finance committee. That's really the choice here, because I'm going to write that. I'm going to copy the PND, and I'm going to, you know, pursue an answer because I think it's important. If there's an earthquake here, APFK will not be in good shape.
Kim, Fred, this.
Yes, Fred.
Since we have the general manager here, can he add anything to the on this information on the earthquake insurance? Anyo? He may have hung up.
He might have hung up. It looks like the second Aniel is here. That may be Terry. I don't know. But clearly he's not responding. So anyways, that's my motion. Any discussion?
Without objection.
Yeah, call the question.
Yeah, well, Dave just did in a way. I mean, okay. Is there any objection to this? No? Okay. So I'll draft a little note and I'll copy y'all and hopefully we'll find out. And
Kim, I was on mute and I was going to say it wasn't really an objection, but just a thought that perhaps this could be one of the things you go over when you go over the budget there when you're meeting with the two of them, Barry and Aniel, because it might just be as simple as, yeah, we got it or we don't have it. I don't have an objection. This is a thing we need to get settled for sure because earthquakes are a constant risk down here. So, but maybe it can be done more quickly with your meeting you're going to have with them. So I hope that's the case. That's all.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do it like today or tomorrow. I'm not waiting because I'm not sure when they might have me in their schedule. I'm not waiting. Anything else?
It's now 2 hours and 51 minutes.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, you know, we're leaving this sort of loosey-goosey that, yeah, we've asked for a new draft, but not formally, and maybe, you know, the GM will take me up on my offer. Is there anything else we want to say? Like, we want another draft by – do we want to meet next week? Do we want to have a draft by then? Do we want to wait for 2 weeks for our regular meeting? Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to say maybe we should have a motion requesting another budget.
Michael, to the staff.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, John, into the queue.
You know, we passed the motion at our last meeting. It was taken up at the LSC and adopted in slightly modified form. It said if we did not have the requirements that we put forward, it was basically a balanced budget that was based on about $2.4 million or something close to that in defensible income. That we would submit, or they would submit a negative evaluation to the personnel files, and that the IED would be asked to come up with a budget that did so. So I think we've basically dealt with this as much as we're going to deal with it. The PNB is having a meeting tomorrow night, and asked Aniel for such figures, and then it, you know, it's going to just go forward one way or the other.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, should we make a statement, Michael, saying to the effect that we did not get a budget along the parameters that we'd requested?
I'm sorry, was that a question addressed to me? I missed it while I was getting off mute and back to...
Can I answer that, Kim?
Yeah.
Should we make a statement that we, in fact, did not get a budget presented today that satisfied that previous motion? That's a question.
Clearly didn't satisfy it. I don't know what to tell you. You want a motion to say that it didn't satisfy it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's a follow-up. In other words, instead of leaving it dangling like what Kim suggested earlier, should we in fact say we met today and we did not get presented with a budget that met the parameters of that motion that was submitted last time? You know, in other words, we either got one that's satisfactory and we don't need the IED to get involved, or we did not get one, or we're doing something else. Should we make a statement to that effect that would alliterate the result of what happened in today's meeting?
I like Dave's motion.
I was in the queue.
Okay, go ahead, Wenger. Go ahead.
I think we should. I'm still in. I think you should take up his offer to meet with the two of them. He's probably going to go for Monday. I think we should have a follow-on meeting on Wednesday, and at the output of that, by Monday, after you've had your meeting with the two of them, you can communicate with us, and we can meet on Wednesday and give our assessment at that point. I think that it would show good faith on our part, and I just want to say also too that, you know, with regard to the psychology of the whole stuff, Dave, it was unfortunate that you were talking over on Yell, and I think that in the future, whoever's running the Maestro channel, you know, he listened to you, Dave, and then he responded, and you started talking over them. And that was sort of, well, frankly, it was bad manners. And I think that we should mute people when they talk over other people. And because it's just good psychology. It just manners. And so I think in terms of good faith and all the rest, we can have our cake and eat it too by having Kim try to get the meeting this week if possible, but no later than Monday. And then we have a follow-on meeting on Wednesday, and we give the output of our minutes and our report at that time. And that way the Finance Committee stays in it the longest. We know we're better at this than the IED is, or the National Finance Committee, or anybody. We are the experts, so we should keep our hands in this as long as we can. And I'm okay with the follow-on meeting 1 week from today.
Michael, back to the stack.
Go ahead.
Honestly, I'm not going to waste another Wednesday on this. I'd much rather be at the Black Lives Matter protest outside of Jackie Lacey. I gave it up this week, really, on the protest, and I'm not going to be here next week if we have another meeting.
Okay. Anyone else?
Fred. I agree with Michael. I think we're having too many meetings and not making that much progress.
Kim, do you have a last item on the agenda still?
I just read it. We approved it. It's done. We're just discussing, you know, if we're going to have another meeting or not.
All right.
I haven't heard from Grace. I haven't heard from Bella. Or Ken, or that's who's left on the call.
I have been muted.
No, you haven't.
Yes, she has, because her mic is constantly making a rumbling sound.
I have been muted all throughout the meeting, mostly.
Well, I didn't do it.
Well, if you didn't, I know who did, and that is Fred Blair. And so, am I a member? Am I a participating member of this committee? because I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. He is getting into a regular frequency doing this to me.
I didn't know that that was happened.
It has been happening.
Sorry.
It has happened in the last two meetings, this being the second one.
Okay. Can we move on, Bella?
Okay. I will move on, and I have to say the following. I agree with Michael, although I also agree with David, but I disagree with John Wenger. It is an abomination that the general manager takes us for granted, is disrespectful, and what David did is what no one has dared to do in this committee, and I'm glad he did it. He laid it out. He laid it down on the ground and made the bullets that needed to be made a long, long time ago, and I'm glad he did, and I'm glad he was not muted. This general manager is an abomination. I want him removed. That's what I want.
Excuse me, Bella. We are do not denigrate employees here. That's unacceptable.
Right.
And you've been warned about that already. Please stop.
I have never done that to anyone before.
You did it to me last month. Now stop it, Bella, or you will be permanently
You're not an employee.
No, but I'm a member of this committee. We don't do that.
Yes, but you have not addressed the issue,
okay.
Have you?
The issue now is this.
John into the queue briefly.
Oh, go ahead.
Just to be clear, Dave, I really liked the fact that you called him out on it. That was perfect, and Anil said he appreciated that. What I thought was unfortunate was the talking over him. I thought that part was disrespectful, but I thought you hit it just right on the nuts. You just hit him right there. You just laid it out, and that was just absolutely perfect. He needed to hear that, and it's good that it was into the record. That was just wonderful.
Does anybody else want to comment?
I'd like to call the question on the motion.
Well, I asked for any objections, and nobody said anything.
To what? Objections to what?
I'm talking about the motion to say that we did not receive a...
that one. Okay.
From David.
Okay. I heard Grace on the stack.
Okay. No meeting next week. Too much.
Right.
And this meeting is too long. It's this is 3 hours.
I have another meeting coming up.
Alan Beek to the stack.
Okay. And then that's it. We're done.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to call the question on David's motion that we say that we did not get a budget.
Okay. So we'll take a vote on it.
May I speak before we vote?
No, because the question's already been called.
I don't think there are any objections. Ask about the objections again.
I object. May I speak?
Okay.
No, Alan, we're taking a vote. I'm just not sure what the question is. So we're going to write something, or we're going to meet next week, or what?
No, it was not to meet next week. It was to say that we did not receive a budget that met the criteria that were asked for by the LSB by August 25th.
That's correct.
Okay. Can you write that up, Dave, and send it to me so I can put it in a minute? Okay, so who's going to vote yes on this? Grace.
Bella.
Yes.
Do you want to write a letter?
Better call the roll.
It's a statement. It's a short statement.
Stop, Bella, stop. Fred, mute her until it's her turn to vote.
Done.
Okay, Grace Aaron votes yes. She wants to send, she's supporting Dave's motion. Ken Aaron? Ken's still on.
He's present, but
yes,
he's not speaking.
Okay. Alan Beek?
Are we voting on Kim sending the message about the insurance?
No, we passed that. Well, no, we passed that. We're voting on Dave's motion.
What is Dave's motion?
Can you repeat it, Dave, please?
That the Finance Committee states that we did not receive a budget that met the criteria of the motion that we sent to the LSB and that was passed by the LSB. We did not receive that today.
I support that motion. I vote yes.
Okay, Fred Blair?
Yes.
Okay, unmute Bella, please.
Done.
How do you vote, Bella?
Yes.
Dave Johnson?
Yes.
Steve Kaiser?
I'd like to abstain.
Okay. Kim votes yes. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Paulina? She might be gone.
She is.
John Wenger?
Abstain.
Okay. And Janine, is Janine still on?
No.
She sent an email that she's gone.
Well, she said she's available for a vote if that's relevant. I think you have enough to pass the vote as it is.
Yeah. Okay, so who will send this to who? The LSB and the PNB?
And the
GM and the
business manager.
Okay.
And business manager. Barry still present.
Okay. I mean, you know, and if I get a call and we work on it, then we might have a better budget. And we'll see what happens then. But that's what we received today. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's got to get better one way or the other. Whether we do it or not, this budget has to be worked on. I mean, I agree with Wenger. Nobody knows, you know, KPFK's finances like we do here. I mean, the NFC doesn't, neither doesn't, and the PNB doesn't. So if it doesn't get done here, it's not going to get done, quite frankly. I mean, you can make all the personnel cuts you want, but there's a lot of other messy stuff in here. And,
right.
you know, magic wand waving is not going to help. So
thank you. Thank you, Kim. I move that we adjourn.
Unless there's any objection, you know, and I'm sorry that these meetings are long. It has been years with no oversight, so we're making up for lost time. You know, going forward, I hope we get this stuff straightened out. And going forward, it should be short meetings where we have a budget and we, you know, look at the P&Ls every month and, you know, that's it. This is, you know, a lot of stuff that needs to get done right now. So thank you all for, you know, sticking with this. And I know it's been, you know, a lot, but thank you all.
Thank you for your good work.
Good night. Good night.
Great.
Good night, all. Congrats.